This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
He shot, he scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Hey, everybody, welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning, and we've got a lot to talk about this hour. Of course, the Panthers last night took a 2-1 lead in their second-round best-of-seven playoff series, a victory in Boston against the Bruins, a 6-2 win for the Panthers a night ago. So the Panthers will have a 2-1 lead heading into tomorrow night's game number four. More on that in a moment. Game 5 at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise coming up on Tuesday, 7 o'clock. The time of that game got announced back on Thursday, so a 7 o'clock game for Game 5 coming up on Tuesday. Now, the Panthers and the Bruins will meet in Boston tomorrow. Game 4 is a 6:30 puck drop, 6 o'clock. We're on the air with Panthers Preview across the radio network. You don't want to miss any of the actions. The Panthers will try and take a 3-1 lead in this second-round playoff series. That's tomorrow. We'll have you covered all across the Panthers radio network and on the Panthers app. You don't want to miss any of it. 560 WQAM, Miami-Dade and Broward Counties, Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches, and 100.3 Thunder Country, of course, as always, in the Florida Keys. Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast. If you have the SiriusXM app, channel 932 on your SiriusXM app always has the Panthers game, and it always has our broadcast. Then there's the Panthers app, of course. Get the Panthers app if you don't have it. Hit that radio button, top right corner. You'll get our broadcast each and every game. So many ways to follow along with the Panthers, so we hope to have you on board for tomorrow evening's contest, 6:30 puck drop, 6 o'clock Panthers preview, and then the Panthers back home at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise Tuesday at 7, and we'll have you covered all across the Panthers radio network for that as well. Get your Panthers tickets, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com. Now, coming up on this edition of the Panthers Insider Show, we are going to take a look back at the last couple of wins for the Panthers, some highlights to come. We'll hear some reaction from last night's Panthers win in Boston, so that's coming up in just a few moments. We've got some post-game sound from the head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice. We'll hear from Sam Bennett, got back in the lineup last night. We'll hear from Matthew Tkachuk. We'll hear from Vladimir Tarasenko. So we'll get to all that coming up shortly. And later on in the program, some special guests stopping by. Next segment, Billy Lindsay, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network. He's going to join us. And then in segment number 3, Jameson Olive from the Territory Talk podcast is going to stop by. You know him from FloridaPanthers.com as well. So we've got a loaded program for you here this morning on Panthers Insider. Reminder, folks, you want to have the best Panthers gear with Panthers in the playoffs, you can go to flateamshop.com. You can also go to Pantherland at the FTL War Memorial, open 7 days a week. A very impressive selection of Panthers merchandise there. Go check it out. That's Pantherland at the FTL War Memorial or flateamshop.com. And there's a watch party tomorrow night. Speaking of the FTL War Memorial, tomorrow night for Game 4, which is a 6:30 face-off, Panthers fans, watch and skate at Baptist Health Iceplex at FTL War Memorial as your Cats take on Boston. That's tomorrow. Don't miss the Game 4 watch party presented by Coors Light and Jameson Whiskey. Enjoy drink specials, giveaways, shop Pantherland, and more. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/CatsOnTap for more information. Well, the Panthers right in the midst of this second-round playoff series against the Boston Bruins, a team they eliminated in the first round last season as the Panthers were on their way to that appearance in the Stanley Cup Final. The Panthers dropped Game 1 of this series back on Monday, but the Panthers rebounded in a big way as they went into Wednesday's Game 2. And, well, as we get started with some highlights, here are the highlights from the Panthers' Game 2 victory, a 6-1 win at Amerant Bank Arena back on Wednesday. Here's how it sounded on the Panthers Radio Network.
Most arena down to our right, handled by the goaltender Schwayman. While they're screwing up the boards, held in Montworth. Tip, they score! The Panthers are on the board. This game is tied at one. Stephen Lawrence out in front of the net. Looks like he got a piece of that one. And the Panthers tied up less than 2 minutes into the second period.
Ekblad over on the far corner. Beecher on him. Barkov comes away with it in front. Here's Reinhardt. A shot and a save. Made a rebound. They score! Poked in front. There was traffic in front of the goal. The Panthers take the lead. It's 2-1. It looked like it was poked home out in front by Barkov. He got the stick on that.
Montour near point. Keeps it in long drive. It's wide off the end boards. Lively bounce. Anton Lundell to the point. Forsling a shot. He scores! Gus Forsling beat the buzzer! And the Panthers take a 3-1 lead. Gus Forsling with a rocket from the left point with 0.3 seconds on the clock here in the second. And the Panthers lead by a pair.
Tarasenko redirects it down to our left. This is going to go all the way down. No icing here, as a matter of fact, in a race for it. Given away. Here's Reinhardt in close. The shot. He put it off the side of the net. Back up from Barkov. Back to a feed. And they score.
And it's into the Wooster Arena on the back door. And the Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 18:32 to go here in this third period.
Reinhardt, Tkachuk in. Had it poked away. And now the Panthers fight to keep it in. Here's Barkov. High slot. Looks right. Reinhardt, Barkov in front. Shot. He scores!
It's Barkov on the power play. And the Panthers add on another one.
Montour cruising in. Left side. Barkov to the circle. Barkov front of the net. Makes a move. Out in front. Poked out and they score. And the Panthers take a 6-1 lead. Now down to our right back behind the net. Forsling holds as the final seconds will tick away. The fans to their feet, and the Panthers have evened up this series as it gets set to head to Boston for Friday's Game 3. This series is tied at 1. The Panthers take Game 2 by a 6-1 final score. The Panthers get it done tonight in runaway fashion, and they even up this best of 7 second round series.
That was a Panthers win in Game 2. Tied the series as it would shift to Boston for last night's Game 3. And it was another big win for the Panthers. 6-2 was the final score in last night's Game 3. Here's how that one sounded on the Panthers Radio Network.
Forbert sends it off to the near boards. Forsling whips it to the goal. Deflected puck. Swayman looking forward. It's jammed at. And they score. And the Panthers are on the board first. 11:56 to go. Here in the opening frame, it was sent toward the net by Forsling. And that one was bounced. Bouncing around, it got by Swayman, and the Panthers are in business here to start Game 3.
Bennett giving to Rodriguez, out to the right point, Ekman-Larsson, Tarasenko left circle, Ekman-Larsson straight on. Ekman-Larsson, Bennett across left side, Tarasenko shot, he scores!
A power play goal! Vladimir Tarasenko upstairs, 2-0. The Panthers double their lead.
What a rip from Tarasenko.
Here's Barkov. Top of the right circle across Montour. Barkov. Barkov down low. Tkachuk in front. Tip.
And they score. The Panthers take a 3-0 lead. Another power play goal. Carter Verhaeghe right there at the top of the goal crease. Got a piece of it. And the Panthers lead 3-0.
Near side. Verhaeghe after it. Back down for Barkov. Right corner. Tkachuk out at the right point across Montour. Locked and loaded.
One-timer. He scores. Brandon Montour on the power play. He lets it rip from the line. And the Panthers stretch their lead to 4-0.
So Barkov leans in against Coyle, and Barkov wins the draw cleanly. The Boston net is empty. Nico Mikkel up the near side, held in by DeBrusk, and then a pile up on the near boards. Tkachuk came out with it. He'll give to Reinhardt. Reinhardt to the neutral zone. Plays it up the far boards. Caught back up to a shot. He scores on the empty net. Sam Reinhardt gives the Panthers the 5-2 lead.
Sam Reinhardt with a really good individual effort.
Off the end boards, forward. Has it for Boston. It's stripped away by Luostarina. Out to the line, Ekman-Larsson. Rodriguez, one-timer, he scores!
A power play goal for Evan Rodriguez, and it's 6-2.
And the people who are still here, well, they're on their way out now, too.
Evan Rodriguez started the party. He's going to close it.
As the final seconds tick away here in Game 3,
And the horn sounds, and the Panthers in runaway fashion, a 6-2 victory tonight here in Boston, and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead in this best-of-seven series.
So the highlights from last night's 6-2 Game 3 victory for the Panthers in Boston. They lead the series 2-1. As far as last night's game goes, it was 1-0 Panthers for a long time. You heard the Evan Rodriguez goal there in the first period off that Gus Forsling point shot. 1-0 Panthers well into the second period. Mason Lorai, the Bruins, was assessed a double minor for high sticking. The Panthers scored twice during the double minor. Vladimir Tarasenko and Carter Verhaeghe made it 2-3-0 Panthers. Here's Vladimir Tarasenko talking about how important that stretch was for the Panthers when they scored the two power play goals in the middle frame.
It's nice to have like two goals in that power play. It's a big moment of the game, and you know, we talk a lot about building the momentum. You know, sometimes you can score for a long time in the power play, but it's important to, you know, keep being focused and work on our things. Guys made a nice place, and it was a big moment of the game.
So the Panthers won the game 6-2, and a big storyline last night, Sam Bennett, such a huge part of the Panthers' overall team DNA. He got back into the lineup last night, returned from injury, hadn't played since game 2 of the first round, came back, made an impact. Here's Sam Bennett talking about what it meant to get back into the lineup.
It's tough to sit at home and watch your teammates you know, go to battle, but you know, they've done a heck of a job, and you know, I'm just happy to be in the situation that I am, and you know, happy to be able to come back.
So Sam Bennett there. Here's Matthew Tkachuk on what it means to have Sam Bennett back in.
You know, we certainly missed him when he was out. When he comes in, he's just such a huge boost to our team and to our locker room. Guys were jacked up to have him back, and I thought he played awesome. Had some big hits tonight, made some great plays, kind of touches every aspect of the game for us, and he was just super, super good for us tonight.
Sam Bennett, such an important player to get back into the lineup for the Panthers. Here's the head coach, Paul Maurice, on what Bennett means to what this team does night to night.
So there's two components to that. It's the individual player's play style. I would say that maybe the prototypical kind of Florida Panther identity, the way we're either viewed or the way we like to play, he might embody that. And then it's what it does for the rest of our lineup. And that is equally as important, because I think the Lundell line was the best line. They were fantastic tonight. And it put them, well, it kind of puts our pieces in place. He's such a big part of it. We missed game one last year here. And he and Barkov are kind of like the two guys that seem to be kind of switching off in and out of our lineup over time. So it's been actually good for Lundell. And then when they're both in together, there's lots of options for us.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there. That was after last night's win in Boston. Panthers now getting set for game 4 of this second round series. They'll look to take a 3-1 lead if they can get a win tomorrow night, 6:30, 6 o'clock. We're on the air with Panthers Preview on the radio network. Lots more to come here on Panthers Insider. Later on in the program, Jameson Olive will stop by from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. But up next, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay, will join us on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans here with you. Just getting started. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you, as always, talking Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. And the Panthers, of course, last night, 6-2 winners in Boston in Game 3 of their second-round best-of-seven playoff series. So the Panthers now a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series. Game 4 is tomorrow in Boston, 6:30 face-off, 6 o'clock. We'll be on the air with Panthers Preview. You can catch us on 560 WQAM. In Miami-Dade and Broward counties, Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys, Real Radio 101.7 in the Treasure Coast. If you have SiriusXM, on the SiriusXM app, channel 932. The Panthers app takes all the guesswork out of it. So many places to catch tomorrow's game. You don't want to miss it, as the Panthers will have an opportunity to put the Bruins on the brink of elimination if the Panthers can get a win tomorrow night in Game 4. The next Panthers home game is going to be on Tuesday night at 7 at Amerant Bank Arena. Arena and Sunrise. You don't want to miss that. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com to get your tickets if you don't have those yet. Again, Doug Plagans here with you talking about last night's victory, about the series as a whole, what we've seen from the Panthers in the playoffs. Joined by a special guest this segment, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, Billy Lindsay, kind enough to stop by. And Billy, well, not long ago, we're still soaking this one in here on a Saturday morning. The Panthers last night picked up a big win, 6-2 over the Boston Bruins on the road, and it ended up being a runaway win in the end. Boston had a few moments where they had flurries, had some pressure going, but the Panthers on the road doing what they had to do last night, plain and simple. What did you like the most, Billy, in the Panthers' 6-2 win last night?
I liked the start. You come back, you had that really good game number two, dominate the last couple of periods, come into Boston. Figure maybe Boston's going to come out with that energy, crowd, have a push. It was not there. The Panthers dictate the style of play. Picked up right where they left off in game number two. They get the early goal by Rodriguez. Silent the crowd. A dominant first period. Maybe could have had a couple more goals. And they were able to continue on like that. The game stayed close. Up to that point, you get that double minor late in the second period. Get a couple of power play goals. But the Panthers were able to dictate the style of play, the pace of play, control the neutral zone, and just bottle up Boston and come after wave after wave. And when you're playing in the offensive zone like that, you're putting so much pressure on a team that went through a seven-game series, now playing third game, playing every other night. It's taxing, and if you let them have it easy, maybe Boston has a chance, but you squash that early on, and the tempo, the ferociousness, Bennett back in the lineup, and it seems like everyone is contributing up and down the lineup. There's no passengers. And when you got 16 skaters going like that, you got your goaltender in net, it's so tough for the opposition to handle, and they're playing a complete game from the offense, the defense. Everyone's connected.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here on Panthers Insider. Panthers 6-2 winners last night over the Boston Bruins. Lots of things to talk about from that one. But Sam Bennett, such a big part of the Panthers' DNA, and it didn't take us long to see that physicality re-injected back into the Panthers lineup, the edge that he plays with. We hadn't seen him since Game 2 against Tampa. And remember back to that game when he left. At the time he left that game, he was maybe the best Panther on the ice that night. He was having a heck of a game, picked up right where he left off, getting back into Game 3 of the Boston series last night. And one of those guys that, again, you have the superstars, you've got Barkov, you've got Tkachuk, but Sam Bennett, such a big part of just the overall DNA of this hockey team.
And Sam Bennett, you talked about all this Panthers and how physical they are. Sam Bennett, my personal opinion, he's the most physical of them all. And with the mean, it's nasty. He plays with a mean streak.
And that's why he thrives this time of year.
Yeah, this time of year he's excited to play. But when he goes out there, it's take no prisoners. I'm coming after you. It's going to be full steam ahead. He's a wrecking ball. He's got that speed to the game. There's an offensive element. He's able to contribute. And to have him, he can turn a series on head just by himself. Sam Bennett, when he's out there, he wants to go through you. He wants to make you feel it. If you're going to play a game against him, win or lose, he wants to make sure that you're going to pay a price. And he's a leader in a lot of categories. And Paul Maurice, if you asked Paul Maurice about Sam Bennett, he's one of the big heartbeats of this team. He's a big driver, and it's a difference when he's in the lineup. And he had a tough decision to make on who to take out of the lineup. That fourth line was really rolling, but he knew if Sam Bennett's able to go, he has to be in the lineup, and that was the case, and he was noticeable. And we go back to last year, missed game one of that Boston series last year. He got back in the lineup, and everything started to turn in the Panthers' fortune. He's an impact player in so many different ways, and this is, even going back to his Calgary days, he's always shined in the playoffs. He plays his best hockey this time of year.
Yeah, you have that playoff Sam Bennett moniker, and again, made his impact right away last night in Game 3. Panthers were 6-2 winners, and the power play was a big reason for it. Four goals on the power play, and it wasn't just the power play scoring or the quantity of the power play scoring, but really the timeliness of it, because you go back to the second period when they scored two on that double minor. It came right on the heels of Boston maybe putting together one of their best stretches of the hockey game, and the Panthers were able to turn the tables completely. Did you see anything on the Panthers' power play last night, Billy, that really stood out to you that helped lead to the four goals? And in addition to just, as you already alluded to, spreading it out offensively.
For the Panthers in the power play, I've liked what the Panthers have been able to do for the majority of the power play with their looks and the movement. It's been consistent. The opportunities have been there. They just haven't gone into the net. And Paul Maurice mentioned after the game last night about the analytics and the scoring chances and continuing to do the right things long enough. Eventually, you're going to end up scoring goals. Well, that's what happened. They were able to do it, and it came at a really critical time. Boston, their only real push in the first couple of periods came in the four minute span before Lowry took that double minor, and the Panthers get out there in a critical situation. They score on the first 2 minutes of that double minor. That allows them to continue on the second 2 minutes, and it was both groups get involved. It's the second unit. Tarasenko scores the first power play goal for the Panthers. That's the second unit. Then the first unit comes out, and Tkachuk finds Verhaeghe kind of coming down the middle of the ice, and he tips it behind the goaltender, Swayman. But they have a really good ability to alleviate pressure, and the different options that they have. They got Montour back at the point that can drift it. If you get traffic in front, you always have Reinhardt in that bumper position. Tkachuk's so adept at making little plays down low, crossing passes, finding the right guys. So there's a lot of options, and they were moving the puck well. They just weren't getting the results, and when they needed the results the most at a big time, it was able to come through, and it was nice to see for the Panthers power play and their group to be able to do that, and that should give them some more confidence as we move forward. We know that special teams always plays a critical role at some point during the playoffs. It hasn't so much for the Panthers power play, but they made a statement in last night's game.
Yeah, big win for the Panthers last night after they dropped the first game of the series, but now they've taken the last two, and they've taken them both in pretty convincing fashion. Doug Plagans along with Billy Lindsay here on Panthers Insider this morning as we have Billy for a few more minutes here. Billy, looking at Sergei Bobrovsky, when you win game 6-1, 6-2, maybe sometimes you overlook what the goaltender is able to do, but Paul Maurice said it in his postgame comments last night that that's kind of a big game for a veteran goaltender when you can go stretches in a game maybe where you don't see a whole lot of activity, but then when the activity does come your way, you're ready for it. We've seen Sergei Bobrovsky, even in a couple of games that have gotten lopsided, he's come up with some big saves when he's had to.
He had to, especially after giving up a couple of goals. They had a power play opportunity, and their power play was, talked about the power plays. Boston power play was doing nothing. The one power play that they did something on, got four shots, was the one late in the third period when they're down 4-2. They get four shots. Bobrovsky was able to make his best saves of the night. And it is tough on a goaltender mentally. It's like a player that plays a lot, that plays 20 minutes a game. You're into the game. You're into a rhythm. You're going. If you're kind of a fourth line guy sitting on the bench getting 6-7 minutes of ice time, and all of a sudden you get called to go out there and play, it can be hard. And it's no different for goaltenders. They're on the ice, but if they're not seeing the pucks, they're not into their normal rhythm or groove, and you don't want to see a barrage of like 50, but if you get into 20, 25 shots, you're starting to feel comfortable, you're handling the puck. So to stay mentally sharp, it is really handy to have a veteran like Bobrovsky to handle those kind of situations, that he knows how to process everything, keep himself active, and go through it. So when his number gets called, whenever it is, whether the shot total is low or high, that he's going to be able to make the saves. And for the most part, Bobrovsky in this series has not been asked to come up with that huge stellar performance. He will at some point down the line here, whether it's in Game 4, Game 5. We know that he's capable, but it's been solid, and that's what you want from a veteran netminder.
Now looking at Game 4 tomorrow, what do you expect there? Because I know going into game three, we expected maybe the Bruins to come out, energize home crowd, throw everything at the Panthers early. The Panthers did a really good job weathering any storm that came their way early in the first period of game three. So now, going into tomorrow night's game four, do you expect maybe more desperation on the Boston side? What kind of approach do you expect maybe for both teams going into game four tomorrow?
There'll be desperation from Boston and the Panthers. We see them at their level, and this is near the top of their game, and I would assume Boston coming off that seven-game series against Toronto with all that energy, we saw them at their best in game one, and their best looks pretty good at that point. But when the Panthers push back and play at another level, maybe some fatigue creeped into this Boston team, and they weren't able to have that type of pushback. Now the question remains, for the Panthers, are you able to sustain what you've done the last couple of games? Are you able to keep it at this level and keep driving and pushing Boston back? If you're able to do that, Boston now has to answer the question in the back of their mind, are we able to keep up with this team? Can we play with them? Can we stay with them when they're humming along at their best? So you've raised some doubts in the back of the Boston mind, and their professionals on the other side, good chance tomorrow that we might see Allmark in net. I firmly believe that's going to be a firm possibility for them. There's some question marks around Marchand and his upper body injury, but whatever they dress, the players coming onto the ice, every game in the playoffs takes on a whole different identity. One bounce early on that goes into the net, all of a sudden, if it's Boston that scores, this place erupts and they get a jolt of energy. Maybe they get a power play goal that goes in. The games can go in so many different directions. Even with it's 1-0 last night, things can look different if somehow they were able to scrape a goal and make it 1-1. The games are, even though it's 6-2, 6-1 the last couple of games, games can get close in a hurry, and we haven't seen a close game in this series yet, and you would expect us to eventually get dragged into a 2-1, 2-2 type of scenario going into the third period where it's very close, and eventually maybe game four you would expect something like that, because Boston on the ropes, you're going to see them at their very, I would expect a performance more of what we saw in game one, of what they're capable of. And for the Panthers, if that's what they could push back, Panthers are going to have to be able to raise and stay at the level they're at.
Yeah, game four tomorrow, 6:30 face-off. And I know regular season is the regular season, the playoffs are the playoffs. But during the regular season, every matchup between these two teams was a nail-biter in some way or another. So, again, the Panthers and the Bruins tomorrow, game four. Last thing before we let you get going, Billy, the other series in the Eastern Conference, how surprised are you to see the New York Rangers having surged out to a 3-0 lead now with an opportunity to potentially complete a sweep in game four of that series?
Yeah, really surprised. Carolina, really good hockey team. And you look at the Rangers now, 7-0 in the postseason. You go back last time that they were 7-0 to start a postseason, 1994. They ended up winning a Stanley Cup that year. So impressive start. Their power play has been crushing the Hurricanes, the special teams. Rod Brindamore looks at their team and that they can only look back what they've done on the special teams. 5-on-5, it's been an even series. That is a separator, and it was a separator for the Rangers in the regular season. And the goaltending of Shesterkin has been off the charts. He's one of the game's best. He's tough to solve. And Carolina, overtime games have been a bugaboo. You go back to the series last year against the Panthers where they got swept, lost a couple of games in overtime. You lose a couple of games in overtime against the Rangers, margin for error. But if you find a way to win one of those games, maybe. But the Ranger team's for real. They won the President's Trophy. It's not a fluke. And they're a team, if we get down the road and that gets to a point, we'll see what happens. But if they go 8-0 and get a couple of sweeps out of the gate, That will perk your ears to any opponent that has to meet them next.
Yeah, their elite players have been all world, and sometimes you get into tight games in the playoffs, that can be the ultimate difference maker. And you already mentioned Panarin and Shesterkin, and those guys have been that good. So again, keeping an eye on the action in the other Eastern Conference playoff series. Well, Billy, Saturday between games, we'll let you go here, and you'll be with us tomorrow, of course. We'll get everybody ready for game number four of this second second round series between the Panthers and the Boston Bruins as the Panthers hope to get the Bruins on the ropes if they can get a win tomorrow. Billy, as always, thanks for stopping by here on Panthers Insider.
Thank you. Yeah, only one big decision today, where to eat. That's it. That's all I got. So got to figure somewhere to eat here in Boston on a good Saturday and go get some dinner.
There are options, and I've never been known to steer you wrong if you want any dining suggestions.
Yes, Dining with Doug. It should be a segment because
it has been before. Maybe we'll bring it back.
We've got to bring it back on this road trip and start videotaping some of it to where we go.
6-2, the Panthers won last night. They'll look for another one tomorrow. Billy Lindsay there to talk about that and more with us. We thank him, obviously, for his time. And, folks, we will step aside. We'll come back. One more segment to go here on Panthers Insider as we get you set for tomorrow's Game 4. We look back at last night's Game 3 victory. The Panthers lead this second-round series over the Bruins 2-1. FLATeamShop.com. Get all the latest Panthers gear, playoff gear. Also go to Pantherland at the FTL War Memorial. Check that out. Open 7 days a week. And again, tomorrow we'll have you covered beginning at 6 p.m. with Panthers preview. Puck drops at 6:30 from Boston for Game 4. We'll have it all for you across the Panthers radio network. Again, Panthers Insider continues next. Doug Plagans with you. Big thanks, Billy Lindsay, for stopping by. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. One segment to go this morning. Panthers and the Boston Bruins right in the midst of a second-round playoff series, and the Panthers lead the series 2-1 last night. Panthers a 6-2 win over the Boston Bruins. And, well, Doug Plagans here with you talking Panthers hockey as always on a Saturday morning. Had a chance to chat with my broadcast partner, Billy Lindsay, last segment about it. And now joining us from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, Jameson Olive here with us. And, Jameson, we'll talk about tomorrow's game, by the way. We'll preview that one a little bit. The Panthers will have a chance to get the Bruins on the brink of elimination. And, by the way, folks, 6:30 face-off tomorrow, 6 o'clock Panthers preview on the radio network, on the Panthers app, however you consume Panthers hockey. Make sure you are able to follow along with the game tomorrow night, Game 4 from Boston, before the Panthers go home for another home game. Game 5 is going to be Tuesday at 7 o'clock at Amarant Bank Arena in Sunrise. You don't want to miss that. But Jameson Olive, first things first, the Panthers were able to get the edge in the series last night. A win by a 6-2 score, 2-1. The Panthers lead the series. Plain and simple, what'd you like the most last night in the win, and how nice was it to see number 9, Sam Bennett, back in the fold?
Well, you got to start there with Sam Bennett, just a huge player to get back for the Florida Panthers. And you saw that right away within the first couple shifts he had. I mean, he was like a cruise missile out there. You know, he goes right into Brad Marchand, blows up David Pastrnak, sets the tone for the Panthers, as he always does. And then the catch just kind of roll from there. And we'll get to, you know, all the other things that went right for the Panthers in the win. But Sam Bennett, I think he finished with an assist and 7 hits. You know, all the players talked post-game about just what he means to the team. And, you know, Paul Maurice, I think, said it best. He basically said if you break down what the Panthers are in terms of how they want to play and who they are as a team culturally, like, he's that. He's the guy. Like, if you had to get rid of the Panther logo, like, it'd be a Sam Bennett face instead of the Panther logo on the Panthers jerseys. He's just that guy, and it just gets amplified in the playoffs when his style of play just becomes the style everyone should be playing. So, just great to get him back, and a great win for the Panthers. Like you said, I mean, to go from losing that first game 5-1 to now winning Game 2 6-1, Game 3 6-2, you got to feel good about that. The Panthers have been in total control here for these last two games, and, you know, looking at that game in Game 3, there's no reason why they can't continue that for the rest of the series.
There's probably some T-shirt maker out there you just gave the million-dollar idea to. Hopefully they give you a cut on that with the Sam Bennett Panthers logo-inspired T-shirt coming up here. But Jameson Olive, looking at that Game 3 last night, coming off the big Game 2 win, back-to-back lopsided wins for the Panthers here in this series to get the edge in this series. I guess specifically looking at the Game 3 win, a lot of things clicked, but was there an overarching theme? Was there a turning point in your mind? Anything that you identified as that game was going along where you just felt like, okay, this is where the Panthers have the upper hand?
You know, they had some key blocks early. The forecheck, obviously, if you follow the Florida Panthers, you probably heard the word forecheck 8 million times by now. But their forecheck was clicking. Once again, they were really giving the Bruins nothing to work with, clogging up all the lanes. Such good sticks, so much pass disruption going on in both the D zone and the neutral zone. And, you know, last game they allowed 15 shots on goal. I think in game three it ended up being maybe 17-18. The shot total is always going to fluctuate at the end there. But regardless, the Bruins had nothing to work with out there against the Panthers. And, you know, it's a really, you know, a testament to the depth the Panthers have, but also just the buy-in from that depth and all four lines and all three D pairs all doing the same thing out there. So that was impressive. And then I think the real turning point of the game and, you know, the thing that really, you know, has a lot of people smiling was that the power play for the Panthers. Four power play goals. That's a franchise record for a playoff game.
And give them a lot of different ways.
Yeah, a lot of different ways. Key moments. Some going to the net with deflection. Some just some beautiful snipes, some one-timers. But, you know, you look at where they were in that game to get, you know, those two goals there on both halves of the double minor in that game. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko just doing what he does, exactly what you thought he'd do when you picked him up at the trade deadline. And then Carter Verhaeghe just continues to terrorize the Boston Bruins, which we love to see. But that was when I think the Panthers really pulled away. Yes, the Bruins made a push there in the third period, but, you know, for the Panthers there to get both those goals at the end of the second period, you know, to turn the fans on the home team, a lot of boos in the building. That was huge. That was key. And, you know, that's kind of the one area where maybe you think the Bruins had the edge in this series going in. You know, their penalty kill's elite heading into this game. They were 28 for 30 on the penalty kill in the playoffs. It's an elite PK. So for the Panthers to put up four on those guys, that changes the dynamic and just the mindset of how you feel now every time you go on the power play.
Now, Jameson Olive here with us, FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. You'll be able to catch him in the second intermission, as always, tomorrow night during Game 4. But looking at the playoffs as a whole, and the last couple of games certainly, but the playoffs as a whole, Alexander Barkov's just been a monster. And any team that has playoff success has that big anchor, cornerstone centerman in the middle that does so much in so many different situations. You think back to, you know, the great runs the Kings had with Kopitar and what Jonathan Toews was able to do as a member of the Blackhawks, and Bergeron with the Bruins for so long. And Alexander Barkov is in the mold of those guys in terms of being the all-around player that affects so many things positively for his team. And you've had a chance to watch him from day one when he first came into the National Hockey League. And Paul Maurice has even mentioned just so much about the way that he uses his body, his big frame, to his advantage. Well, he started to punish guys with that big frame. And he had six hits last night, which tied for the game high. And you saw the mean streak come out a little bit, because it seemed like early on the Bruins were maybe trying to target him a little bit. And he was giving it right back to him. How impressed have you been with not only everything he's been able to do, but Alexander Barkov dishing out some hits as well, using that physicality and using that big frame to his advantage?
I'm loving it. And like you said, this is the best hockey Alexander Barkov's ever played. He's been an elite player for a long time, but it's all coming together now. I think he's still only 28 years old, so right starting to kick off his prime here. You know, I wrote a story the other day for FloridaPanthers.com, you know, why he's the perfect captain for the Panthers, a term that, you know, Paul Maurice has used, Matthew Tkachuk's used. He's just leading by example out there. And now he's starting to speak up more, too. He's more vocal. Matthew Tkachuk said, you know, when he speaks up in the room, everyone goes silent because something important is about to be said. But you talk about his physicality on the ice, and I think that's just, you know, guys like Bennett and Tkachuk kind of bringing Barkov closer to that mold where they are. And the funny thing is, they probably, you know, don't want him doing that. They're like, no, we got this. You just do your thing. But he's like, no, I want to have some fun like you guys are doing out there and throw some hits. And it's not like he's going out there headhunting. He's not going out there trying to blow guys up, but he's finishing every check. That's what he's doing. He's going, you see him along the boards, he's finishing checks. And the thing is, even if you're just finishing a check and it's not super violent, Barkov's still 6'3", like 225. So
anytime he leans on you, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, they're going to feel it. So that's not a good feeling. So I think he's also starting to learn that, to learn that he is this big guy that can just push guys around. Because so much of what he does, even on his size, is finesse. And it's beautiful. And the way he can move and what he can do in tight areas is so special. But I think now he's realizing, I can just bowl through that guy. And so for him to do that now and to have hype men around him like Bennett and Tkachuk, I think it just makes him that much better. So like you said, there's a lot of leaders in that locker room. I already talked about how great Sam Bennett is and what he does. But if you're looking for maybe the one guy in terms of skill and in terms of leading by example out there, it's Sasha Barkov.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, helping lead us along through this final segment here. A few minutes to go with him here on Panthers Insider this morning. Jameson, last night,
post-game, Paul Maurice mentioned regarding Kyle Okposo, called him, you know, he's made for this series, a heavy series, a physical series. He's a veteran guy, knows his way around the rink. He get into a hostile environment. He's not going to be fazed by any of this. And we had a chance to hear from Kyle Okposo, spoke to the media a couple of days back, and just had a lot of great things to say about, you know, the time he's been with the Panthers now for a couple of months, the way he's fit in, everything he's been able to do, how much he's savoring this time in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It had been a bit of time between visits to the playoffs for him. How much have you enjoyed watching him work his way into this lineup and the way that he's been able to be a part of a really successful fourth line grouping now for this team over the last few games?
I've loved it. It's been so great to watch. And, you know, when he came here at the deadline, it's a trade he had to accept because obviously he's coming from Buffalo. It's a big move. He hasn't moved a lot in his career. You know, he's been an Islander and he's been a Sabre and now he's a Florida Panther.
But he's never been involved in an in-season transaction.
Yep, and you know he's got a young family and he had to leave them behind for a bit to immediately go. You know, the National Hockey League doesn't stop. The moment you get traded, you got to go. You got to pack your bag and go. And he had to come right down to Florida. You know, leave his young family behind. He said that was tough, but he also said, I remember the time. You know, talk to my family, and you know, I always thought to myself, if I don't go for it, I'm gonna regret it. And he's going for it, and he got down here, and he's not just a guy on the bench that's rah-rah cheerleading, being a veteran. He's out there, he's making things happen each and every shift. He's gotten an opportunity, and he's running with it. And like you said, Paul Maurice said he's built for the series, and I have to agree, he looks great out there. But just to see, you know, how he acts, you know, around the guys in the room, and I think every good team and every team that makes a run, you always have one or two guys that are the let's maybe win it for this guy, and he's definitely one of those guys for the Panthers. And just a reminder to all those guys in the room that are 25, 26, 27, 28, that you better make the most out of this because it could be gone real quick. Because Kyle Okposo went 8 years in between playoff appearances, and he's a good player. He should be in the playoffs most
accomplished
years.
A ton,
but you can't do it by yourself. And a lot of times it just evaporates and disappears. And so he's just thrilled to be back. And I think it's a good reminder for every other guy there to savor it. You want to keep coming back every year, but never let one moment or one game or one shift slip by you because you don't know when you're going to get another opportunity.
He's Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, and the Territory Talk podcast. Two more before we let you get going. First on the game tomorrow night, game 4 in Boston. What do you expect this one to look like? Because oddly enough, two teams that played 4 tight games against each other during the regular season. Boston came out on the winning end of all those, oddly enough, but 4 tight games in the regular season. And now in this series, we've had 3 games that by the end of things ended up looking rather lopsided in terms of the final scoreline. What do you expect tomorrow? Do you expect to look different in any regard from the first 3 games of the series? And do you expect maybe the Bruins to come out with some extra urgency for this one?
For sure, they're going to have urgency. You know, the Florida Panthers, I expect to keep on rolling, keep on doing what they're doing. But the Bruins have question marks heading into game 4. First, let's start in between the pipes. Jeremy Swayman, of course, was just one of the top goaltenders in the world there for a little bit to start the playoffs. 7 straight starts, allowing 2 or fewer goals. And now he's given up, you know, 5 in each of the last 2 games. So if you're the Panthers, you're feeling pretty good there. And if you're the Bruins, you have last year's Vezina Trophy winner, Linus Ullmark, you know, sitting behind him. Yeah, he got in the other day, letting a couple goals, but are you at the point now where even if you think Swayman's still the guy, do you change your goaltenders for the spark? Because are you at go for spark moment yet if you're the Boston Bruins? And maybe you are, maybe you aren't. We'll see. That's kind of the battle the Panthers won in round 1 last year. You know, the Bruins waited too long to make that switch and it didn't work out for them. Are they going to make it a little bit early here now this time around a year later? We'll see. And then, of course, Brad Marchand. You know, I mentioned, you know, Sam Bennett lit him up with a nice hit there in the first period. Clean hit, good hit. He did leave, you know, later in the game, didn't come back. If he's out, if they're missing Brad Marchand, I don't think they can survive the series. It's already an uphill climb for them, so we'll see if he's in there for game 4. Obviously, it'd be a huge hole if he's not. But for you, the Panthers, a lot more exclamation points for you, and for the Bruins, a lot more question marks. So Panthers have to feel good heading into that game, and also knowing that if they make this 3-1, it's probably over, which is funny to say because the Panthers were on the other side of that last year, and they came back. But for the Panthers, I just don't think they're the type of team to let a 3-1 advantage slip away. So I think if they can find a way to win here on the road, bring it back to Florida for game 5, I have to imagine they close it out. So for the Panthers, huge game for the Bruins as well. Let's not forget, fans were turning on them in game 3 like we talked about. If they come out and have a bad first period and fall behind by a goal or two, it's going to get ugly. And you need
time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. One segment to go this morning. Panthers and the Boston Bruins right in the midst of a second-round playoff series, and the Panthers lead the series 2-1 last night. Panthers a 6-2 win over the Boston Bruins, and well, Doug Plagan's here with you talking Panthers hockey as always on a Saturday morning. Had a chance to chat with my broadcast partner Billy Lindsay last segment about it, and now joining us from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, Jameson Olive here with us. And Jameson, we'll talk about tomorrow's game, by the way. We'll preview that one a little bit. The Panthers will have a chance to get the Bruins on the brink of elimination. And by the way, folks, 6:30 face-off tomorrow, 6 o'clock Panthers preview on the radio network, on the Panthers app, however you consume Panthers hockey. Make sure you are able to follow along with the game tomorrow night, game 4 from Boston, before the Panthers go home for another home game. Game 5 is going to be Tuesday at 7 o'clock at Amarant Bank Arena in Sunrise. You don't want to miss that. But Jameson Olive, first things first, the Panthers were able to get the edge in the series last night, a win by a 6-2 score, 2-1. The Panthers lead the series. Plain and simple, what'd you like the most last night in the win, and how nice was it to see number 9 Sam Bennett back in the fold?
Well, you got to start there with Sam Bennett, just a huge player to get back for the Florida Panthers. And you saw that right away in the first couple shifts he had. I mean, he was like a cruise missile out there. You know, he goes right into Brad Marchand, blows up David Pastrnak, sets the tone for the Panthers, as he always does. And then the catch just kind of roll from there. And we'll get to, you know, all the other things that went right for the Panthers in the win. But Sam Bennett, I think he finished with an assist and 7 hits. You know, all the players talked post-game about just what he means to the team. And, you know, Paul Maurice, I think, said it best. He basically said if you break down what the Panthers are in terms of how they want to play and who they are as a team culturally, like, he's that. He's the guy. Like, if you had to get rid of the Panther logo, like, it'd be a Sam Bennett face instead of the Panther logo on the Panthers jerseys. He's just that guy, and it just gets amplified in the playoffs when his style of play just becomes the style everyone should be playing. So, just great to get him back, and a great win for the Panthers. Like you said, I mean, to go from losing that first game 5-1 to now winning game 2 6-1, game 3 6-2, you got to feel good about that. The Panthers have been in total control here for these last two games, and, you know, looking at that game in game 3, there's no reason why they can't continue that for the rest of the series.
There's probably some t-shirt maker out there you just gave the million-dollar idea to. Hopefully they give you a cut on that with the Sam Bennett Panthers logo-inspired t-shirt coming up here. But Jameson Olive, looking at that game 2 or game 3 last night, coming off the big game 2 win, back-to-back lopsided wins for the Panthers here in this series to get the edge in this series. I guess specifically looking at the game 3 win, a lot of things clicked, but was there an overarching theme? Was there a turning point in your mind? Anything that you identified as that game was going along where you just felt like, okay, this is where the Panthers have the upper hand?
You know, they had some key blocks early. The forecheck, obviously, if you follow the Florida Panthers, you probably heard the word forecheck 8 million times by now. But their forecheck was clicking. Once again, they were really giving the Bruins nothing to work with, clogging up all the lanes. Such good sticks, so much pass disruption going on in both the D zone and the neutral zone. And, you know, last game they allowed 15 shots on goal. I think in game 3 it ended up being maybe 17-18. The shot total is always going to fluctuate at the end there. But regardless, the Bruins had nothing to work with out there against the Panthers. And, you know, it's a really, you know, a testament to the depth the Panthers have, but also just the buy-in from that depth and all four lines and all three D pairs all doing the same thing out there. So that was impressive. And then I think the real turning point of the game and, you know, the thing that really, you know, has a lot of people smiling was that the power play for the Panthers. 4 power play goals. That's a franchise record for a playoff game.
And getting them a lot of different ways.
Yeah, a lot of different ways. Key moments. Some going to the net with deflection. Some just some beautiful snipes, some one-timers. But, you know, you look at where they were in that game to get, you know, those 2 goals there on both halves of the double minor in that game. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko just doing what he does, exactly what you thought he'd do when you picked him up at the trade deadline. And then Carter Verhaeghe just continues to terrorize the Boston Bruins, which we love to see. But that was when I think the Panthers really pulled away. Yes, the Bruins made a push there in the third period, but, you know, for the Panthers there to get both those goals at the end of the second period, you know, to turn the fans on the home team, a lot of boos in the building. That was huge. That was key. And, you know, that's kind of the one area where maybe you think the Bruins had the edge in this series going in. You know, their penalty kills elite heading into this game. They were 28 for 30 on the penalty kill in the playoffs. It's an elite PK. So for the Panthers to put up four on those guys, that changes the dynamic and just the mindset of how you feel now every time you go on the power play.
Now, Jameson Olive here with us, FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. You'll be able to catch him in the second intermission, as always, tomorrow night during Game 4. But looking at the playoffs as a whole, and the last couple of games certainly, but the playoffs as a whole, Alexander Barkov's just been a monster. And any team that has playoff success has that big anchor, cornerstone centerman in the middle that does so much in so many different situations. You think back to, you know, the great runs the Kings had with Kopitar and what Jonathan Toews was able to do as a member of the Blackhawks, and Bergeron with the Bruins for so long. And Alexander Barkov is in the mold of those guys in terms of being the all-around player that affects so many things positively for his team. And you've had a chance to watch him from day one when he first came into the National Hockey League. And Paul Maurice has even mentioned just so much about the way that he uses his body, his big frame, to his advantage. Well, he started to punish guys with that big frame. And he had six hits last night, which tied for the game high. And you saw the mean streak come out a little bit, because it seemed like early on the Bruins were maybe trying to target him a little bit. And he was giving it right back to him. How impressed have you been with not only everything he's been able to do, but Alexander Barkov dishing out some hits as well, using that physicality and using that big frame to his advantage?
I'm loving it. And like you said, this is the best hockey Alexander Barkov's ever played. He's been an elite player for a long time, but it's all coming together now. I think he's still only 28 years old, so right starting to kick off his prime here. You know, I wrote a story the other day for FloridaPanthers.com, you know, why he's the perfect captain for the Panthers, a term that, you know, Paul Maurice has used, Matthew Tkachuk's used. He's just leading by example out there. And now he's starting to speak up more, too. He's more vocal. Matthew Tkachuk said, you know, when he speaks up in the room, everyone goes silent because something important is about to be said. But you talk about his physicality on the ice, and I think that's just, you know, guys like Bennett and Tkachuk kind of bringing Barkov closer to that mold where they are. And the funny thing is, they probably, you know, don't want him doing that. They're like, no, we got this. You just do your thing. But he's like, no, I want to have some fun like you guys are doing out there and throw some hits. And it's not like he's going out there headhunting. He's not going out there trying to blow guys up, but he's finishing every check. That's what he's doing. He's going, you see him along the boards, he's finishing checks. And the thing is, even if you're just finishing a check and it's not super violent, Barkov's still 6'3", like 225. So
anytime he leans on you, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, they're going to feel it. So that's not a good feeling. So I think he's also starting to learn that, to learn that he is this big guy that can just push guys around. Because so much of what he does, even on his size, is finesse. And it's beautiful. And the way he can move and what he can do in tight areas is so special. But I think now he's realizing, I can just bowl through that guy. And so for him to do that now and to have hype men around him like Bennett and Tkachuk, I think it just makes him that much better. So like you said, there's a lot of leaders in that locker room. I already talked about how great Sam Bennett is and what he does. But if you're looking for maybe the one guy in terms of skill and in terms of leading by example out there, it's Sasha Barkov.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, helping lead us along through this final segment here. A few minutes to go with him here on Panthers Insider this morning. Jameson, last night, post-game, Paul Maurice mentioned regarding Kyle Okposo, called him, you know, he's made for this series, a heavy series, a physical series. He's a veteran guy, knows his way around the rink. You get into a hostile environment, he's not going to be fazed by any of this. And we had a chance to hear from Kyle Okposo, spoke to the media a couple of days back, and just had a lot of great things to say about, you know, the time he's been with the Panthers now for a couple of months, the way he's fit in, everything he's been able to do, how much he's savoring this time in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It had been a bit of time between visits to the playoffs for him. How much have you enjoyed watching him work his way into this lineup and the way that he's been able to be a part of a really successful fourth line grouping now for this team over the last few games?
I've loved it. It's been so great to watch. And, you know, when he came here at the deadline, it's a trade he had to accept because obviously he's coming from Buffalo. It's a big move. He hasn't moved a lot in his career. You know, he's been an Islander and he's been a Sabre and now he's a Florida Panther.
But he's never been involved in an in-season transaction.
Yep, and you know he's got a young family and he had to leave them behind for a bit to immediately go. You know, the National Hockey League doesn't stop. The moment you get traded, you got to go. You got to pack your bag and go. And he had to come right down to Florida, you know, leave his young family behind. He said that was tough, but he also said, I remember the time, you know, talk to my family, and you know, I always thought to myself, if I don't go for it, I'm gonna regret it. And he's going for it, and he got down here, and he's not just a guy on the bench that's rah-rah cheerleading, being a veteran. He's out there, he's making things happen each and every shift. He's gotten an opportunity, and he's running with it. And like you said, Paul Maurice said he's built for the series, and I have to agree, he looks great out there. But just to see, you know, how he acts, you know, around the guys in the room, and I think every good team and every team that makes a run, you always have one or two guys that are let's maybe win it for this guy. guy, and he's definitely one of those guys for the Panthers. And just a reminder to all those guys in the room that are 25, 26, 27, 28, that you better make the most out of this, because it could be gone real quick, because Kyle Okposo went 8 years in between playoff appearances, and he's a good player. He should be in the playoffs most years.
Accomplished a ton.
But you can't do it by yourself. And a lot of times, it just evaporates and disappears. And so he's just thrilled to be back. And I think it's a good reminder for every other guy there to savor it. You want to keep coming back every year, but never let one moment or one game or one shift slip by you, because you don't know when you're going to get another opportunity.
He's Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, and the Territory Talk podcast. Two more before we let you get going. First on the game tomorrow night, game 4 in Boston. What do you expect this one to look like? Because oddly enough, two teams that played 4 tight games against each other during the regular season. Boston came out on the winning end of all those, oddly enough, but 4 tight games in the regular season. And now in this series, we've had 3 games that by the end of things ended up looking rather lopsided in terms of the final scoreline. What do you expect tomorrow? Do you expect to look different in any regard from the first 3 games of the series? And do you expect maybe the Bruins to come out with some extra urgency for this one?
For sure, they're going to have urgency. You know, the Florida Panthers, I expect to keep on rolling, keep on doing what they're doing. But the Bruins have question marks heading into game 4. First, let's start in between the pipes. Jeremy Swayman, of course, was just one of the top goaltenders in the world there for a little bit to start the playoffs. 7 straight starts, allowing 2 or fewer goals. And now he's given up, you know, 5 in each of the last 2 games. So if you're the Panthers, you're feeling pretty good there. And if you're the Bruins, you have last year's Vezina Trophy winner, Linus Ullmark, you know, sitting behind him. Yeah, he got in the other day, letting a couple goals, but are you at the point now where even if you think Swayman's still the guy, do you change your goaltenders for the spark? Because are you at go for spark moment yet if you're the Boston Bruins? And maybe you are, maybe you aren't. We'll see. That's kind of the battle the Panthers won in round 1 last year. You know, the Bruins waited too long to make that switch, and it didn't work out for them. Are they going to make it a little bit early here now, this time around, a year later? We'll see. And then, of course, Brad Marchand. You know, I mentioned, you know, Sam Bennett lit him up with a nice hit there in the first period. Clean hit, good hit. He did leave, you know, later in the game, didn't come back. If he's out, if they're missing Brad Marchand, I don't think they can survive the series. It's already an uphill climb for them, so we'll see if he's in there for game 4. Obviously, it'd be a huge hole if he's not. But for you, the Panthers, a lot more exclamation points for you, and for the Bruins, a lot more question marks. So Panthers have to feel good heading into that game, and also knowing that if they make this 3-1, it's probably over, which is funny to say because the Panthers were on the other side of that last year, and they came back. But for the Panthers, I just don't think they're the type of team to let a 3-1 advantage slip away. So I think if they can find a way to win here on the road, bring it back to Florida for game 5, I have to imagine they close it out. So for the Panthers, huge game for the Bruins as well. Let's not forget, fans were turning on them in game 3 like we talked about. If they come out and have a bad first period and fall behind by a goal or two, it's going to get ugly, and you need your fans behind you. It doesn't help when they're booing you. So for the Bruins, a good start's going to be key, or else you're going to lose the building.
Yeah, the Brad Marchand thing certainly going to be worth keeping an eye on, because he means, beyond just being an elite player, he brings so much in the way of the leadership and everything like that to that Boston team. One more before we let you get going. Jameson, you surprised to ask Bill Lindsay the same thing. Surprised to see the Rangers up 3-0 on Carolina in the other Eastern Conference series.
You know, I am, but at the same time, I'm not, because you almost feel bad for the Hurricanes if they weren't, you know, a rival. But, you know, 2 of those losses in overtime. You look back to last year with the Panthers.
Yeah, they've been right there.
They've been right there. They're not getting blown out. You know, you know Rod Brindamore, after the Panthers swept him last year, you know, famously said, "We didn't get swept." And funny quote, looking back in context, and he got grilled for it at the time.
I get the premise.
But we get the premise, because there were so many overtime games, all those one-goal games, and it's the same thing now against the Rangers just around earlier. So if they had Carter Verhaeghe, they might be up in that series. They just can't find players on that team that want to get that game-winning goal in overtime. So you have to think they're probably done. You're probably not coming back against the Rangers down 3-0. So that's what the Panthers are playing for here, a date with the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final, which would be a great series. Still a lot, long way to go. But, you know, I think the Rangers probably have that locked up. And for the Hurricanes, another season now where you get close, you make a good run, but it's just not there. You got to wonder what they do moving forward.
Yeah, we'll see how things play out. Jameson Olive, thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you during the second intermission tomorrow.
Can't wait. Thanks, Doug.
That is Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast with us. We thank him for his time. We thank Billy Lindsay for his time as well. And we thank you for tuning in. That takes us to the end of this week's program. Again, the Panthers and the Bruins, game 4 tomorrow night, 6:30 faceoff, 6 o'clock Panthers preview on the radio network. You can find us on the Panthers Radio Network and the Panthers app, and then the series shifts back to Sunrise for Game 5 on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss any of the action, folks. Again, thanks to our guests. I'm Doug Plagans. Thanks to you for tuning in this morning. This has been the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.